foi la vie, on découvre un mystère. L'araignée survit aussi vite que l'éclair.
Et bonjour mes amis.
Bonjour.
Je m'appelle Walter et Chris Owen et moi. My French has really left me. Yeah,
that's good. That's good.
Welcome to Comic Culture. Bienvenue de Comic Culture. We are back for another season, and we're going bilingual.
Because the fans demanded it.
Fans demanded it. Chris and I were in Montreal over the summer, and they wanted a French comic culture, so we're working on that. That was our first little snippet.
Yep.
Hey, welcome to the show. We're on 93.3 CFMU, McMaster's award-winning radio station. And Chris, you and I owe CFMU 93.3 McMaster's award-winning radio station a lot.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They've supported us so much through the years.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, we're their best show.
Well, that's the thing, right? They support us, but, you know, but at the same time, we're bringing in the bucks for them.
We bring awards
for
them.
Yeah.
Right. So we're glad to be here. And we're always on, what's that website we're on?
iTunes?
Comic Book Daily.
Comicbookdaily.com,
Comicbookdaily.com.
Forgot about that thing's still around?
I think it is, yeah.
Oh.
That's where you can go. That's where we usually get our hate mail.
And there's lots of it.
And there's lots of it. So, hey, we're back for another season, Chris. Great to have you and the co-pilot chair.
Yep. You know, it's
we're
good.
Two co-pilots. And
it's good to be back, Walt. And you're looking good. You're looking lean. It looks like you've lost about 45 pounds there. So,
yeah, well, that'll...
Good.
I don't want to get into that.
Yeah,
but,
that's fine. But you're looking good. But, man, you really got to watch what you're wearing when you go out, step outside that door. You really got to put on something nicer clothes. You got to show off that svelte body of yours. Yeah.
So these triple X shirts.
Doing it for you anymore. Yeah.
I hear you.
Especially these baggy sweatshirts. And,
That's all right, Chris. It's what's inside.
That's right. Yeah, you're looking good.
Thank you, Chris. So are you, Chris. You're looking yellow.
Having a bit of problem with the jaundice these days.
I can tell. Chris, all I got to say for me and you, thank God we're on radio.
Yeah, I got a face for radio, right?
Hey, but it is great to be back. And
yes.
Chris, we got a... I mean, you and I sat down last week, and we had a few...
We had a bit of a powwow.
Yeah, we had a few club sodas, and we talked about this year's... The 2018-2019... what's the show called again?
Comic Culture.
Comic Culture season.
Right.
All the stuff we have planned, all the guests we have lined up,
all
the live shows we plan to tape.
It's a smorgasbord of
Entertainment. Well, we're not even going to wet anybody's whistle just
yet.
We'll keep them in suspense.
Absolutely.
But it is great to be back. What we're going to do today, this week, is we're going to start the show like we normally start every show with...
New This Week.
Yeah, you talking about New This Week. And New This Week is brought to you by La Belle Province.
La Belle Province.
Quebec, Canada.
Ah, oui, oui.
It's a great place to visit. We had a lot of fun there. We recommend you do the same.
Absolutely. So the first up on the hit parade we got here is, I want to talk about, this is an interesting book that's been going on, and I think it's flying under the radar. And I've really been enjoying it, actually. It's Plastic Man. Now, you're probably asking yourself, is this the same Plastic Man that's been around since the 1940s?
I was asking myself.
It is. It's the same character. Is it 40s or 50s?
40s.
Police comics.
Yeah.
40s. So, anyway, same
what's
character.
What's his name? Cole. Bill Cole.
L.B. Cole.
L.B. Cole.
L.B. Cole.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's still going on. But I've really been enjoying... Gail Simone's take, and man, I never get it right. Adrienne, I don't know how to say it properly. Adriana Milo. Milo is doing the art.
Yo, Adriana.
And, it's awesome. It's a really fun book, especially if you like Plastic Man, who's a bit of a
Plastic
zany.
Plastic Man has to be written, it was always written as humor.
Right.
It was always written as comedy. I don't know about always, but every incarnation I've read of him was always kind of funny and tongue in cheek and I can't see him all of a sudden diverting into some sort of mega serious Dark Knight type of character.
Right.
Right. And so Gail Simone and the gang, if they're writing him funny, I can see that working.
It's awesome. And they've got, I don't want to give it all away, but there's lots of great cameos that are in it. Silver Banshee's in it. And, you know, there's, what's his, the Queen Bee is in it. And Amazo is in it. Like, there's all types of cool characters that are in it. You know, it's a 6-issue miniseries, and I highly recommend picking it up. It's got awesome covers by, I think I'm going to get this name right. Lupacino, I think the name is.
Lupacino.
I think.
Al's younger cousin.
No, the whole last name is Emanuela Lupacino.
Oh, Emanuela.
Anyway, really Lupacino. Nice, really nice artwork. Kind of has a bit of an Adam Hughes-y, Terry Dodson-y kind of feel to it. But
and why wouldn't it if that's what sells comics?
Well, exactly, right? Yeah.
Hey, Plastic Man number 4. Check that out at your local comic book shop. Chris, did I mention that this show champions?
I don't think you did, but you should.
The local comic book shop. Comic culture champions the local comic book shop.
Right. Okay, next up, we've got Supergirl number 22. And the reason why I bring this one up is, first of all, I love the cover. We're going to get into variant covers in the back issue market and all that later on in the show.
Is it an Adam Hughes-ish
cover? Well, it's Amanda Connor, who's coming into her own,
this was Gail Simone.
That was,
I always get those two mixed up.
Gail Simone was the writer on this one. Amanda Connor is the artist on
exactly.
this one.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah. You're always, it's okay.
I'm on top of things. Don't worry about me over here.
I know
on
you
my
are.
Side of the
You're doing
table.
A good, doing a good job. All but right. We've also got Kevin McGuire doing the insides of this one, who's the master at facial expressions. He's an awesome artist. Anyways,
we got Kevin on the inside.
Kevin on the inside, and we've got Mark Andreo, and Draco is doing the scripting. It's a great, great book.
Wonderful. That is Supergirl number 22.
Supergirl.
Check that out at your local comic book shop. Nice little crypto on the cover.
Right. Right. Okay, next up, we've got Superman number 3. Now, this is the one by Brian Michael Bendis. Now,
That's right. Because Mr. Bendis switched over to Superman with that infamous, or now famous, Action 1000. He did
right.
the backup story.
He did one of the backup stories.
And that was his introduction to the world of Superman.
That's right.
How's that all going?
Well, you know, a lot of people love it. I am still not a huge fan of...
You never were.
No, I know. I actually blame him for the downfall of comics. But anyways, this is just my own thoughts. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying he's bad. I'm just saying I don't like him.
Right.
Not
saying he's bad. I just blame him
just
for
blame
the downfall
him for everything.
Of comics.
Yeah, it's fine. That's just myself, though. I'm not saying anything else about him.
Mr.
You know.
BMB.
Yep. So, anyways, he's got... Superman, the Unity Saga is the current storyline going on right now. But I got to tell you, the art on the inside is fantastic. It's Ivan Reis doing the art on the inside, and it's a pretty cool Adam Hughes cover on the front as well. So there's lots of stuff going on with this book that makes it great, even in spite of my thoughts about Brian Michael Bendis.
Wonderful. That is, what is it again?
Superman number three.
At your local comic book shop today. Check that out.
I want to talk about one more DC book. I know we've already talked about a couple there.
Sure have.
But the reason why I'm bringing this up is this is, of course, if you're a DC fan, if you're a comic collector at all, at any point since the 1970s, you will know that for a long time running, DC has had a strong horror/mystery comic book following.
That's right.
Based on their House of Secrets.
House of Mystery.
Well,
Sinister House of Secrets.
Yeah, exactly. All that gothic stuff.
Yeah.
Well, now in the Sandman universe, they're releasing what they're calling the House of Whispers.
Oh.
So this is a new house, if it were, as you want to call it. So we've got the House of Mystery, House of Secrets, and now the House of Whispers.
House of
Whispers, this is an ongoing series in the Sandman universe, and number one comes out today at your local comic book store. So if you're looking for a jumping on point of any kind of book, this would be the one to do.
Why? The House of Whispers. Hey, Chris, you know where a great place to read this would be?
Where would that be?
The library.
Oh, very true. Very, very true.
I went nowhere. Hey, House of Whispers, number one. At your local comic book shop. Check that out.
All right. Next up, one of the books I want to talk about here is, of course, the whole Infinity Everything is now big because of the Marvel Universe and Infinity Gems, Infinity Stones, Infinity Wars, all that kind of stuff. Well, now we've got the Infinity Wars comic. We're a little behind because we didn't have any shows in the summertime, but this is actually Infinity Wars number 3. This is written by Jerry Duggan with art by Mike Diodato Jr. And, of course, this is just, you know, I don't want to say more of the same old, but it's an interesting take. It's got the same similar characters, you know, Gamora and, you know, which we call it, Thanos and all that. But they do some sort of, like, weird mashups of characters in this book. So instead of having, you know, say, you know, Ghost Rider and the Black Panther, well, now you have the Ghost Panther.
Right. And Harry Osborn and Gamora,
Harry Gamora.
Right.
You've got, you know, instead of, you know, so the Supreme, the, what do you call it? The Doctor, you know, Doctor Strange is the, is the Sorcerer Supreme.
Right.
And now you have the Soldier Supreme, who is a mashup of Captain America and, you know, of Doctor Strange and the Iron Hammer, which is, of course, Iron Man and Thor. Wow. So you're getting all kinds of weird mashups of the same characters.
Like amalgam.
Kind of amalgam, but updated, I guess, if you want to call it, for the 2018s.
I don't know if I like it.
Well, it's there whether you like it or not.
Right. Infinity Wars number 3 is at your local comic book shop. Check that out.
And finally, the last book I want to talk about is Fantastic Four number 2.
Hey!
Finally come out today. I read the first one. I loved it a lot. I thought it was
Who's
great.
Who's writing that?
Dan Slott.
Oh, I like Dan.
So Dan Slott, longtime Spider-Man artist, is now he's taken over the realms of the new Fantastic Four. And, of course, now we've got Fantastic Four coming back to the Marvel Universe. And for those of you that weren't sure what's going on with all that, we haven't had a Fantastic Four comic for years now.
Well, because of the politics, the industrial espionage going
exactly,
on.
Exactly, exactly. So we've got finally got another Fantastic Four comic. Interesting. I'm not gonna, you know, I'm just gonna go ahead and spoil it.
Don't spoil it.
No, in the last one, this is number one.
Beep, boop,
beep, pop.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. Well, in the last issue, Ben Grimm proposed to Alicia Masters, longtime girlfriend. So you know, we may or may not see the response to that said question in this issue. So I'm not gonna say anything else. But Fantastic Four, number 2, on your local newsstands today.
Wonderful. Chris, and of course, you've just did 2 or 3 new this week, and there are hundreds, if not thousands, of new titles hitting your local comic book shop today. We encourage everybody to run in to their local shop and check it out.
Exactly, exactly. All right, listen, let's have a quick musical interlude, and then we're going to come back here and talk a little bit more about comics. But first, some more French Spider-Man.
Cela veut dire que je suis sur la bonne voie. Ce n'est que mon imagination. Mais en bas, tout le quartier est congelé. Mon cher ami l'araignée, tu vas peut-être... Que se passe-t-il ? En place. Je ne peux pas rester ici. En pleine vague de chaleur.
Mon Dieu, Monsieur Rowan, qu'est-ce qui se passe maintenant? Mon Dieu. Hey, comic culture. Industry news. We're segueing into industry news.
News.
It's
industry
been a
news.
While.
I know, I know. It's fine.
A lot of heat, a lot of summer
it's
sun
a very
in my
hot
head.
Hot summer, yeah.
You know?
Is your brain okay?
And I don't know if it is or not. It's brought to you by Le Carnaval de Québec. The winter carnival in February is the place to be to freeze your buns off.
Yeah, it really is.
If you got to freeze your buns off somewhere, do it at Le Carnaval de Québec.
And you can see Bonhomme de Neige.
Yes, you can. And you can see some nice winter bunnies.
There you go. Perfect.
Did I say that? I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay. Yes, yeah.
So we're into industry news now, Chris. And what we're going to do, first of all, is, again, continue with our welcome back to all the listeners.
Especially
thanks
those of you entering school now.
Yep. Yeah. We know that we're background music to McMaster University's kind of common areas
yep,
and stuff.
Yep.
And we know you're not listening whatsoever. So, you know, I could say, I hope you flunk and you're not even listening.
Oh, don't say that.
I don't hope they flunk. I hope they all do really well. I hope they're very, very successful. And they go on to a illustrious comic book collecting career.
Absolutely.
So, Chris, I think this is season 17 for us. Is it?
Something like that. Yeah. We're getting long on the tooth now.
Yes, we are. And I mean, we have plans for some guests again this year, like we discussed. We won't mention who yet. I mean, I have so much fun doing this show.
Yes.
And I think Chris and I have been coming back every year.
Yeah,
doing the show. Certainly not for the money.
No, we do not do it for the money. That's for sure.
But it's because it is so much fun. And the feedback from you guys listening is it makes it all worth it, really. Like, we get our emails, we get our comments on the Comic Book Daily website. We go to cons and we have people coming up and say, hey, I like the show. Chris's neighbor will come up to, did I hear you on the radio?
Exactly,
you
know?
So that's all nice. So we encourage everybody to just continue giving us some feedback, good or bad. We'll take any kind of attention.
Go on to comicbookdaily.com and scroll down when you see it and enter some comments. Let us know how you're liking the show. Or if you're not liking the show, let us know that too. But at least we know somebody's listening.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. It's been an amazing summer, Chris. Like, I think maybe I don't know where we can start. We could maybe start with Fan Expo.
Yeah, let's talk about Fan Expo.
Fan Expo was just the monster show that's up here in Canada in Toronto. It's like, I'm going to be wrong, but I think it's the number three show.
Well, it used to be. I haven't checked any of the data lately, but it used to be, I think New York.
New York is the biggest. And then San Diego and Toronto are kind of neck and neck because of capacity.
Right.
But we set up at the show. We have a large booth. We have it's a tremendous amount of work to get it done. But I just wanted to comment on the incredible energy that's at that show. I've been to New York 2 years ago and it was the same thing, but I've never been to San Diego.
No, me either.
But it's just the health of comic book cons. To me, it seems just as strong as it's ever been.
Well, it's funny, you know, because for a while there, I really thought that the back issue market was really going to start waning. And I thought that, I mean, there was the old joke even 10, 15 years ago that, you know, especially when you're going to Comic-Con in San Diego, if you want to get away from the crowds, go to the comic book dealers, right? And but I'll tell you, you know, after going to Fan Expo, I think there's a change occurring in collecting. I think there are more people. I think there's a lot of people collecting back issues, but I think what they're collecting is different now.
Yeah.
Back when I was a big collector, and you know, it used to be you were a completist,
right? You collected your runs.
Yeah. And now that has seemed to have shifted, whereas now people are collecting based on covers, they're collecting based on first appearances, they're collecting based on first issues, all that kind of stuff. Whereas so the collecting community, I think, is growing in more so than it has in the past 5 years. I think it's a shift. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree totally. I think you could see it. It's one of those lag things, right, Chris? It's one of those lag things that you should have seen coming, but in hindsight. So what happens in 2008, 2009, 2010? Iron Man, Captain America comes out. The big plans for an Avengers movie comes out. DC's doing their thing, too. So you got these massive, massive, massive pop culture movie vehicles that are hitting the big screens. But I guess my point is as comic book people that are already immersed, we for some reason foresaw them immediately changing people over into collectors.
Right, right.
And there's a time lag. It takes, for some people, a few years when they get immersed, and maybe they saw their first movie 6-7 years ago, and then the second and the third, and then they eventually start coming around to actually taking, you know, the first appearances of these characters as great collectibles, right. And I think you're seeing a lot of that right now with the young people, even with older people. I think it's just kind of like a big snowball effect. These things have been out for now 10 years, and now the collecting community is reaping the reward, I guess, of all this pop culture around comic book culture.
Right, right.
And just, attrition percentages are gravitating toward collectible comics.
Absolutely, yes.
And that is affecting the market right now for sure.
So now, would you say that now are the big two still leading the way with as far as collectibles? Like, you know, are people still after Batman, Superman, Spider-Man, Captain America, or are there other companies that people are buying from?
Well, for collectible stuff, it's definitely, you know, your blue chips, right? Those books are getting more and more, you know, and I'm talking about, okay, stuff that you and I can't afford, like Action Comics 1,
right.
First Superman or Detective 27, or even Amazing Fantasy 15, First Spider-Man.
Yep.
Most of us can't afford it, but books like Spider-Man 129, the first Punisher, Hulk 181, the first
Wolverine.
Those books are hotter than they've ever been. It's almost like Chris, you're a young person, or maybe you're 32 years old, or whatever, doesn't matter, and you want to jump into comics, and you get online, and you say, what should I be buying?
Right.
And guess what keeps popping up?
Yeah.
You know, 181, 129, and I think those are like safe wade-ins into the market, and they're definitely high prestige things.
But what if you can't afford, like, I guess what I'm curious about
You buy a 2.0 out of 10.
Do you go straight to those highly collectible ones, or do you try to find? I guess you speculate on, like, hey, there's an Adam Hughes cover on this one.
Well, there's that happening with the young, but that's a savvy crowd doing that.
Right,
that's a savvy crowd that recognizes that the Adam Hughes covers will get premiums because they're Adam Hughes covers.
Right,
but when you're just entering the market in your late 20s, early 30s, or something like that. You don't really know anything.
Right.
You can't be savvy.
No.
So what you're going to do is gravitate toward Spider-Man 129.
Sure.
Hulk 181.
Yep.
You know, Batman Adventures 12, New Mutants 98, the first Deadpool.
Yeah.
You're going to be gravitating toward those books.
Right.
Because that's what everybody's telling you to gravitate towards.
Right.
So, and you're seeing such an incredible run up on prices on things like Spidey 129, New Mutants 98, Hulk 181 is just ridiculous through the roof right now. In the last month and a half, it's probably seen another 20% increase on what I thought was already inflated prices.
Right.
So it's just like hotter than hot. The market is really, really hot right now. It's a seller's market for key issues, high demand issues. But you speak to a point is, you know, savvy people.
I'll tell you where I was coming from with
okay,
that.
Okay, go ahead.
So, you know, some friends of mine and I, we go to the show, and of course, you know, so he's getting more interested in CGC and in grading comics. And I've never really dabbled in it too much, but he's kind of getting into it a little bit. And so we're looking around, and all of a sudden he sends me a picture of a comic that came out about, I don't know, I'll say 7 years ago, maybe 10 years ago, somewhere around there. I don't really remember what, but it's becoming now a famous Adam Hughes cover of Supergirl floating on an asteroid type thing.
Uh-huh.
And she's just sort of looking up in the air, and it's a very beautiful pinup style cover.
Right.
And I thought this was something that, you know, was a $5 comic.
Ten tops. Yeah, because you want it.
And then he shows me, now he goes to the Free Comic Book Realm website.
Right.
And he shows me what this book is getting now. And it's like, you know, a 10.0 is getting like...
Oh, 10.0.
Well, okay, even a 9.8 is getting like, you know, $500.
Whoa.
Right? And then he shows me a website on eBay that people are selling the same book, like 9.8s, for like $2,000.
Huh.
Now, I understand, you know, if you can get them $2,000, all the power to you. And I understand, you know, but my point is, it seems like some of these variant covers and some of these higher end, you know, artist covers are getting crazy amounts of money for stuff that's just coming out now.
Yeah, but you know what? If 3 years ago you asked me that, I would have said poo-poo.
Right.
Right. But now you got to remember what CGC does, Chris, is it minimizes the book into a postage stamp, into a postcard. You will never open that book.
But isn't that the
way
comic...
That book is the cover.
But that's the way comic collectibles are going anyways.
Well, they weren't 20 years ago.
No, I'm saying, but I mean now...
Right, so my point, though, is that's all kind of accelerating now, is my point. More and more people are accepting that.
No, nobody's buying... But even like nowadays, nobody's buying a Spidey number 23.
Yeah.
And opening it up and reading it.
No.
Right?
Well, if it's old timers, if it's in rough shape, just to say they did.
Just
you know
to say they
mean?
Did. Yeah, but okay. Yeah. But so nobody's opening up a Spidey 50.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Nobody's opening up a Spidey 129. Mm-hmm. Nobody's opening up all these books to read anymore. All these books are now so old that they've now, they're postage stamps, right?
Yeah. Well, they get encapsulated and they become postage stamps. But my point is these beautiful... And I'll tell you one, so I don't know anything about anything, Kristen, these comics, these modern comics.
Yeah, yeah.
So we got a recent modern collection in, and my buddy Jay there, who's really good at this stuff, he's going through and he's putting piles off to the side that are worth a little bit more money.
Right.
And I'm going, is that? I'd have to go online for each book and check, because I don't know.
Right.
And if I have 600 comics in front of me, that's like a week. I don't have time.
Yeah.
This guy can do it literally in half an hour.
Yeah.
Just blah, 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 blah. Yeah. This pile here is good. This pile here sucks.
Yeah.
How the hell do you know that? I don't know. You know. So my point is there was this Catwoman where she's being arrested and she's got kind of like a push-up bra outfit, and she's got a bosom, right?
Right,
and so it's like a famous Adam Hughes Catwoman
being
arrested cover, the lineup cover.
Oh, yeah.
You know the one?
It's got the name plate, the numbers.
The name plate, whatever. So it's okay. So we send it down hey, let's send it down to CGC.
Yeah.
So we send it down to CGC, it gets a 9.8. And apparently these things are worth $250.
Right.
I had no clue.
Right.
But the thing is, when you look at it, you can see why the collecting community would like it. It's a standout cover by a coveted artist,
right? So,
in a high grade
in that particular book. Now, I know that that's just one that you just happened to talk about,
right?
But that particular book has another connection to it. So, do you remember that TV series Lost?
Mm-hmm.
So, in that TV series Lost, one of the characters, Hugo, was in he was in for mental health somewhere,
right.
And there was somebody there that kept on reciting numbers,
uh-huh.
And so he took those numbers down, and he ended up buying a lottery ticket, and that lottery ticket ended up winning him $50 million.
Right.
Those numbers are the same numbers that Adam Hughes put in as sort of a Easter egg, and those are the numbers that are on Catwoman's plate thing.
I didn't know that.
Right?
That's
it's 8, 16, 24, whatever it is.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's those same numbers.
Uh-huh.
So there's Lost fans out there that want that book.
That book, right.
As well as Adam Hughes fans, as
probably...
well as Catwoman fans.
Ah,
so that one in particular.
As well as TNA fans.
Yeah, as well as pinup guys.
Pinup guy fans.
Right.
So there's a lot of fan bases that book hits.
Exactly, right? Exactly.
So very cool.
So,
but
I mean, there's a lot of more other... what I don't understand is, so nowadays you've got comic book stores that have the ability to have their own variant covers for certain printing.
That's right.
And they have 500 covers or 500 copies or 1,000 copies of something.
Right.
And it seems like those are the ones that are also getting big money too, because
now all of a sudden
they might hire... a big name artist to do a cover for them.
Yep.
And now before you know it, it's that particular book is making $500.
Yeah. Yeah. It's ridiculous. It's the market is healthy on many fronts. It's healthy on, the classic key back issues. It's healthy, as you and I just alluded to, on these modern coveted cover scenario. And it's also healthy on, Chris, something that you and I both enjoy. I love the health of that kind of esoteric, old, hard to find back issues of comics from long defunct publishers, but yeah. had, you know, unique horror covers or, you know, kind of gory covers or good girl art covers. It doesn't matter.
Just stuff that you...
Yeah, stuff you'd never see.
And I think that's for
And
us.
Once you see it, you go, whoa, that is so cool, right? That is just amazing.
I mean...
The prices are through the roof on everything. It's incredible.
Crazy. Yeah, it's crazy.
As you and I speak right now in early September 2018, the back issue comic book market is as healthy as it's ever been.
Now I don't want to talk about this too much because I don't want to bore our listeners too much. Uh-huh. But what was that one book that you and I were looking at that you said you actually put a bid in on it? And it's the classic. It had the Ku Klux Klan cover. And had the branding on the covers, that old horror comic.
Oh, no, Suspense 3.
Suspense.
Yes. Suspense number 3.
And, you know, and here, this is a book that in the guide should be selling for like $5,000 mm-hmm. or something like that. And it sold at auction for like $30,000.
Something like that. Yeah, it was ridiculous. Like that. Yeah. And it was low grade, too.
Low grade. Like, it's just, there's all kinds of weird esoteric comics out there that are really hard to find that if you get a good copy
of
one.
It's funny, though, the mechanism of the marketplace with terms of auctions, Chris. Auctions are a psychological animal unto itself. So we have a customer. I have a customer that lists books with a website that we have called the International Comic Exchange, ICE.
Okay, yeah.
So this gentleman's lucky enough to have a CGC 9.9 of New Mutants 98.
Wow.
Which is the first appearance of Deadpool. So there was another 9.9 New Mutants 98 that went up on a great website called Comic Link about three months ago, right? So that book, two guys went at it hard. I don't know if there were guys. It could have been two girls.
Yep.
But two people went at it hard, and the book closed at $23,000
craziness
US.
Yeah.
Now the gentleman that listed it on my site has it at 20,000 US. The underbidder for that auction would have had to bid 22.5
right.
or 22 minimum if it's $1,000 increments. I think it's $500 increments.
Yeah.
So our book is seen around the world, like it's on our site. So that underbidder knows of our copy at 20,000. But they never doubled back and bought it at 20,000.
Right, because there's
the heat of that moment.
Yeah, the auction
The auction fever, guys going at it. And it's like the next day the guy go, whew, I'm glad I didn't bid one more time. Oh, wait a minute. There's another copy available at $3,000 less than I actually bid and lost that.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to buy it.
Yeah. You know, I don't really want it after
all.
Yeah,
changed my mind.
Hello. Oh, dear. Okay, listen, let's get back to a little more of the Spider-Man en français, and then we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about, I don't know, how about we talk about comic books?
Hey, good plan.
All right.
Qu'est-ce que c'est, une torche humaine? Et loin de la police. Ça va être une photo que ce bon vieux Jameson saura apprécier. L'araignée. L'étoile d'araignée sont insuffisantes contre moi car je possède le pouvoir de l'électricité. Electro, l'étincelle humaine. Je vais te convaincre de mon pouvoir. Sors de là, araignée, tu es un peu trop vieux pour jouer à...
La première étoile, the first star, a Peter Parker.
That was Spider-Man against Electro, for those of you who wasn't too sure.
It was. Chris, and a great segue into industry news part deux.
Part deux.
Part deux. And brought to you by La Belle Provence again. Visit the great Gaspé region. If you have absolutely nothing to do, visit Gaspé. Because when you go there, you'll have absolutely nothing to do.
Nice.
All right, Chris, let's talk about, let's keep this thing going. I wanted to talk about,
now I got one question for you.
Beep,
boop. Are we going to talk about more about collectible comics?
We could, but I thought we'd switch over.
I want to ask one more question.
Okay.
And I want to know your honest opinion about signature series collectible comics. So what am I talking about here? So I'm talking about the fact that, so Walt was talking earlier about the fact that you can have a CGC graded comic where you send the comic book down and get it graded and it comes back a number out of 10. But what they also offer is if you get a signature signed and witnessed by a representative of CGC, you get a yellow label on it and it's now considered a signed edition of that particular comic. And now those can sometimes garner more money. And I want to know your thoughts, because it seems like we're seeing a lot more of those lately. But do they are they worth the money? Are they worth the expense? All that kind of stuff.
Well, Chris, talk about scarcity. Boy, have I seen some weird stuff over at Fan Expo. There was a cover. I forget what it was. Oh, my God. I feel embarrassed. Might have been a Daredevil, might have been whatever, where it actually had, it was like an anniversary issue or something like that. And on the left was all white. And on the right, all the way from the top of the book, from the top of the book to the bottom, were all the creators that were involved in that book.
Okay, yeah.
So that was the cover.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
The cover was names.
Right.
With a huge white area to the left.
Okay.
That might have had the characters somewhere in the white area.
Okay.
Small.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
a,
yeah.
You know, army man,
yeah,
small.
Yeah.
Well, my buddy, one of my buddies, he says I'm his buddy, so
yeah.
I hope so. He comes to me and he goes, he bought this 9.8
yeah.
signature series
yeah.
of that book. And I'm making up numbers here now. Let's say there was 12 names.
Right.
He had 9 signature series names on it.
Really?
Of those 12.
Yeah.
So that was a thing.
Wow.
It's like, I'm getting every single one, and for some reason he couldn't get them all. Or
yeah,
maybe
yeah.
it was all. I forget.
Okay.
But he says he's missing one or two, I thought.
Okay.
So it's like, you get these 9 creators. They all signed the book.
Yeah.
And you get it down. So, it's scarce, right? It's thing.
Well,
I have another story.
Sorry, yeah, yeah. Okay.
So that was like he paid $600 for the dumb thing.
Really?
Right. Another guy. So a big thing now on the market, believe it or not, it's all about scarcity, is the Canadian price variance of the 80s.
Right.
So, you know, it just said 75 cents Canada rather than the other ones that said 60, 75,
right,
and 40
right.
pence or
right,
something
right,
like that.
Right.
So these are rarer because they're 1 in 10 roughly.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
So let's say a book like Spider-Man 252,
okay.
which is the first black costume.
Right.
That had a 75 cent edition.
Right.
As opposed to the 60 cent American edition.
Right.
People like that one better. Collectors like that one better. It's scarcer.
Sure.
Right? So we had a gentleman walk up to our booth. He had a CGC signature series of that book with 5 signatures on it, and
wow.
it was a 9.8. He had Stan Lee. He had Friends.
Ron Friends, yeah.
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 He had maybe Shooter. I
yeah,
forget who.
Yeah.
He had 5.
Yeah.
Right? And it was the only CGC 5-sig 9.8 that existed.
Right.
So he plops it on the table. There were 3 of us there. We were actually talking about Canadian price variance.
Okay.
And he knew it.
Yeah.
And he goes, guys, first guy to offer me 3K Canadian, it's theirs. Oh, my God. There were the 3 of us. Remember the scene on The Good, the Bad, the Ugly in the graveyard where the eyes, everybody's looking at each other. Wah, 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 wah. And we're all looking
yeah.
at each other. Who's going to make the first move? And so anyway, one of us made the move.
Right.
Said, I'll give you the
$3,000. Wow.
It's like what signature series does
yeah.
is it gives you scarcity.
Right.
And so, you know, the big thing now is Stan Lee.
Sure.
The poor man.
No, he's not signing anymore.
Yeah, he's not signing anymore
yeah.
and he's in ill health. But I've always thought, man, there's more Stan Lee signature series signatures out there
it's
than there
be.
Are pebbles of sand on the beaches around the world. Right?
Well, I mean,
this
think
man
about,
did nothing but sign
yeah,
comics
I,
for the last 10
yeah,
years.
Yeah, I right? totally agree.
Now, if you had a Frank Frazetta signed book, or heaven forbid, if you had a Captain Canuck summer special Trudeau variant cover with Justin Trudeau's signature
on
it.
Yeah.
You know, there are true scarcity and true demand and true value in that.
Yeah.
But it's all about supply and demand.
Yeah.
And there's so much demand for Stanley signatures, even though the supply is enormous.
Huge.
The demand is even huger.
Right.
So, yeah, I think SIGs add to it. But I personally like the really tough ones.
Right.
A Frazetta signature.
Right.
Whatever signature. Oh,
you know. Frazetta signature. That's almost impossible. How would you possibly get that?
CBCS as a company... they verify signatures.
Oh.
CGC will not verify signatures.
Okay.
They have to see and authenticate.
Right.
Verify it.
Yeah.
Whereas CBCS, you can send the book down with the Frazetta signature on the cover.
Oh, interesting.
And they will get a signature expert
right.
to say this signature has been verified as Frazetta.
Oh, interesting.
Signature.
Okay. Yeah. I did not know that.
So that's CBCS.
But then, of course, you get into the debate as to whether or not CBCS is as good as CGC
or
vice versa.
But hey, if you had a Frazetta signature, I'd take the CBCS because you can't have one as CGC.
Yeah, true enough.
So, yeah, I think there's value to signatures.
Yep, okay.
I think you just got to be careful.
Yeah.
The big thing now is multiple signatures.
Right.
So if you can get... And it's
so
funny.
How does that work? Do you crack it open when
the
guy's there?
Yeah, you have to. Or I had a friend. We had a... You know that really cool detective cover... of the Joker head with all the little bats.
It was
5 years ago, number 880 or something, 880 something. We had a 9.8, and he was at Fan Expo. And as you know, at Fan Expo, the whole creative team of Batman was there.
Right.
Everybody, the artist, the writer, the inker, the whatever, you name it, they were there. He bought that 9.8.
Okay.
And he cracked it open, and he took it over there. And he had everybody sign there.
Really?
And then he submitted it there. So he's going to have three or four signatures. I forget how many.
Yeah.
Three or four signatures when it comes back. Hopefully it comes back a 9.8 still.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Because they're very careful, these guys. These creators know how to sign. And then his comic will be worth much more money because it might have... It'd still be a 9.8, but it'll have four signatures on it.
Yeah, interesting. You know? All right.
So,
All right.
Signatures are good.
Yeah.
Just do your homework.
Fair enough. All right. Sorry, what else you got going on?
Okay, let's talk about, Chris, you're much more of a movie buff than I am.
Maybe newer ones, yeah.
Now, I think it's safe to say that 2018 is the greatest year ever for comic book movies in terms of successful ones.
Interesting.
We started the year off with Black Panther making $1 trillion.
Yeah.
And then Avengers made $1 trillion.
Yeah.
And then there was a whole bunch of movies in between.
Yeah.
That made hundreds of billions of dollars.
Lots of money. Yeah.
And then there's still anticipated movies coming up, like Venom's about to hit.
Venom. We had Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yeah.
We
still have Aquaman to come.
Aquaman. We had, even though it didn't do as well, Han Solo was earlier on in the year.
Yep.
Aquaman's coming up. Uh-huh. Captain Marvel's coming in the early February of next
How
year.
How many times over the last 10 years have people, naysayers, poo-pooers, boo-hooers, come out and say, it's all going to crash. It's oversaturated. They said that in 2012.
Yep.
They said that in 2013.
Yep.
They said that in 2000, whatever. And it seems like every year. I just can't see us topping this year, though.
I don't think it could possibly be topped. I mean,
you had $2 billion movies in 1 year that involve superheroes.
Yeah, I mean, I can see Captain Marvel doing very well.
Uh-huh.
That's going to be in February, I believe, and then in May we'll have Infinity War Part
that's
2.
Good. Well, that'll
do
another
amazing money.
Mm-hmm.
Then I think, they haven't told us what's going to happen really after that. We know there's going to be a Spider-Man movie as far as superhero stuff goes. But we don't really know anything else after that. So I don't know if it can possibly sustain these numbers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Before we had, Black Panther and Infinity Wars, it was a long time since we had. Like, I think it was like The Force Awakens,
yeah,
which was a couple years ago. And then before that, it was a long time before that.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, we moviegoers, you know, it's too easy for them to stay on Netflix and watch Stay at Home and On Demand and all that stuff. So nowadays, they don't go out to the theater as much anymore. So,
right.
You know, Black Panther and Infinity Wars are anomalies.
Right, right.
Right? So, but I think Captain Marvel might do it because mm-hmm. now we've got a sort of a tie-in with Infinity Wars, and it's a strong female lead, which we haven't really had before in a Marvel movie anyways.
Right.
So I think that's going to attract a wide audience.
Does it matter to us, though, Chris, us as comic book aficionados, a local comic book shop supporters, does it matter to us that the movie release makes $1 billion? Or does it matter to us more that who cares what they're making? Even if Netflix steals some of the thunder, they're still watching on Netflix, even though you don't see, it doesn't make headlines that there's some sort of monetary
right,
thing.
Right.
Who cares? Not who cares. I don't condone this at all, but in a sense, who cares if people are illegally downloading? They're still watching. Like
right.
for us, I think what we lose sight of as kind of just purveyors and fans of the comic book media is we don't care how they're consuming this.
Right.
We don't need to read headlines about box office success.
Yeah.
All we need to know is that this stuff is seeping into every
yes.
nook and cranny and being consumed by everybody through 100 different ways.
Right, right, you know, right. I think we're beyond that now. I think, okay, 15 years ago, let's say 20 years ago, but 15 years ago, if you told me that there was basically any kind of comic book movie coming out,
mm-hmm.
I'd be, yes, let's do it. I can't.
Yeah, let's more, go opening more, night.
Opening
Boom.
Night. Nowadays, if a comic book movie comes out, well, what is it? We've seen a lot of comic book movies in the last 10 years. And so now it has to be really something special.
Right.
You know,
like Avengers next year.
Like Avengers. Like, you know, that. And I'm not just talking about Avengers, but I mean, you know, like for example, Scott Pilgrim came out and as a movie, and that was
right.
a big graphic novel
yeah,
here.
Yeah.
But
was it special enough to go to the movie?
It wasn't special
theater.
Enough for me,
yeah.
right? I didn't really care enough. But, you know, had it been, you know, 20 years ago,
mm-hmm.
I may have thought, hey, you know what? Hey, there's this comic book movie
cool.
that's come out.
Yeah,
cool. Let's go sit and check it out.
Yeah.
But nowadays, it has to be something a little bit more special.
Well, more. I guess that's my point, though. So when next year rolls around, and I don't know when the inevitable year will happen, and it might be next just because of how we've reached the moon this year. When, you know, because the news headlines and stuff, oh, comic book movies are down for the first time
right.
in 11 years. But does that really mean consumption is down?
Well, you got to remember, what does down mean? Like, does down mean, well, it's not making $1 billion?
Well, that's what it means. It's exactly what it means.
Well, then
but other people will
be
like
down.
You. They're
yeah.
going to wait for Netflix, or they're
right.
going to wait for the streaming service, or they're
right.
going to get it on their phone.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, From the local comic book shop or from the whatever standpoint, from the popular culture, the comic book culture perspective, you know, we don't need to be hanging on box office numbers.
No,
we
not
just
at all.
Need this stuff to get to the end user somehow
right.
through whatever medium,
right.
whatever vehicle.
Yeah, we still want to see that it's promoting the comic book industry in general,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
we, you know, I still want to see, you know, I like Aquaman. I am a big fan of Aquaman. I don't know if I care about the Jason Momoa Aquaman,
mm-hmm.
but I'm still going to go see it in the theater.
Right.
You know, I still want to see it. I like to check these things out. I want to support it. You know, Wonder Woman was awesome. Justice League I was okay with. But certainly the next Wonder Woman movie, when that comes out, I'm going to go see that in the theater as well. I'm a big purveyor of going to see movies in the theater. I believe very strongly for going to support that and even buying DVDs. I don't download anything. You know, I very rarely watch things on those kinds of movies on Netflix.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Of course, I do use Netflix all the time. Of course.
Yeah. I'll use Netflix because I pay for it. What I won't use is a pirated thing. I just refuse to. I'd rather wait.
Totally, yeah.
It's like the old adage, if we all did it, we wouldn't be watching anything.
Well, that's just right? it. Yeah, that's so, right. Yeah.
But anyway, that's elitist of me. Do we have a musical interlude before we...
Sure, we've only got a few more minutes left
here.
We've got about, just under 10 minutes.
All right, let's do a musical interlude.
We'll do a quick musical interlude here to some more Spider-Man en français.
Je ne voyage pas en première, mais pour l'instant, c'est l'unique façon d'échapper. Il est là-bas, juste comme j'imaginais. Nous irons ça au même point. J'ai besoin d'un bouclier spécial. Rends-toi, araignée. Rends-toi. Dis plutôt, échappe-toi. Cessez le feu. Rattrapons-le. Ici n'est pas la place d'un jeune homme. Il me faut... Oh, oh.
Très bien, mon ami Owen. Où sont les enfants? Me voilà sur l'ombre. That was like grade two French. That's
the
only
thing
I remember.
The only thing I remember from grade school French was P2.
I think that was from P2.
Oh, was it? Oh, there you go. Nice.
Wow. My wife's a French teacher.
Yeah, you should probably know a little bit more about French.
I don't.
Okay.
My kids went through French immersion. Now they talk behind my back.
Oh, that's the way you do it.
Yes,
right.
They do. I talk comics when I don't want them to understand me.
I talk comics when I want to bore my wife.
That's right. Hey, there's
Spock?
Spock.
All right, listen. So what do we got going for the last little tidbit here?
All right, how do you want to end this show? Okay, let me ask you something, Chris. I'm going to ask you something. So... Of the movies, we're talking comic books, we're talking movies. I love the fact that Fantastic Four is back.
Yeah.
Publishing.
Yes.
Comic book. I'm glad FF was the flagship title. It's back printing and stuff like that. What comic book property that hasn't been already licensed and made into a movie or something like that, would you like to see as a comic book movie?
Oh, that's a great question. You know,
can I start?
Sure, go ahead. I was going to answer, but you go ahead.
I baited that question because I wanted to answer it. I want to see Captain Canuck.
Sure, I would love to see a Captain Canuck.
I want to see Captain Canuck.
I can't see that would be my first choice, but I would love to see a Captain Canuck movie.
Well, the thing is with the other ones... with the American ones, it's like I don't know. There's so many variations of heroes that they've tried. So you know, you get your like you almost run the gamut. You can kind of have some of your sub favorites and your favorites. You know, people that you really liked. I don't know. Black Lightning should be in something, but he's already been in TV shows and stuff. Whereas Canuck, as a Canadian, I really want to see that done, and I want to see it done in a very Canadian way.
Right.
I almost want Mike Myers to write it. And Jim Carrey to be in it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I want it to be so Canadian. You know, Michael J. Fox to make a cameo or something like that.
Yeah.
I want it to be over the top Canadiana with all the great Canadian.
Yeah.
You know, Norm Macdonald somewhere in it. You know, being a doofus or something like that. Just I think there's a different slant on it's like, because here's the thing. We've discussed this before. Comic books are an American art form. Superhero comic books are an American art form, not comic books.
Well,
superhero.
A comic book is an American art form.
I think Captain Canuck would be the only non-American one that has a chance because we're kind of close to the Americans, so we've latched on to the superhero comic, whereas Europeans haven't.
But do you think that Captain Canuck would be, when people would look at it and go, it's too much like X and then...
No, that's why you have to do it different. That's why you have to give it that Canadiana right. slant. You deliver it from a different perspective, from yeah. a different social,
yeah.
cultural perspective. That's yeah. the key. Because every single movie is from a social, cultural, American viewpoint.
Right.
You know, to even to a degree, even Wakanda.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's still from the American lens.
Yeah,
you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
We need something from the Canadian lens.
I agree. I totally so, agree.
How yeah. about yourself?
You know, I was just thinking a little about it a little bit more when you mentioned it. I guess I've got a few. I would love to see, you know, speaking of Canadiana comics, I'd be neat to see like a Nelvana
I'd be cool.
movie.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
It's so esoteric that I think yeah. I think you could do a really cool job at that. I would love to, you know, I'd love to see a, you know, I know they did Suicide Squad, but I'd love to see a villains movie done right with the Marvel villains. You know, I'd like to see like the Sinister Six or
yeah.
something with MODOK or some uh-huh. of those crazy villains that
yeah.
how do you possibly portray it under the big screen and
right.
have it be cool, right?
Yeah.
I would love to see that. You know, I think, you know, okay, we all know that I love Power Girl,
uh-huh.
but I think seeing a Power Girl movie would be really cool because she's a character that always doubts herself, right?
Right.
She's
right.
always, she knows she's strong, but then she doubts herself for a bit. And then she, you know, I think there's something really cool about that sort of liberating factor of going through her stages of what she, being Kryptonian and
yep.
all that kind of stuff. I think yep. that would be a really cool movie too, right? So there's lots of movies out there that I would love to see. You know, what would be my top one? It's hard to say, you know. They've kind of been doing them, Captain America, and they've done a Daredevil TV show. Like,
yeah,
two of my favorites,
two of your faves, yep,
right? So
yep, yep.
hard to say. And they've done Batman so many times, and they've done Superman. Somebody that they haven't done before. It's hard getting down to the nitty gritty, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, enough. I would love to see like a House of Mystery or House of Secrets movie.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, some Cain sort of weird
Cain and Abel doing the little bit of the
yeah,
preamble,
exactly
the intros and stuff like that. Hey, are you going to New York City Comic Con?
I would love to go. Unfortunately, that's I will not be able to go this year.
Yeah,
that's
I'm setting up at the Kitchener Comic Con.
Right.
That
right.
weekend.
That's so. The Thanksgiving weekend.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So that's Thanksgiving weekend. Now, where is that Kitchener show? Tri-City, that's...
Yeah,
Tri-City,
that's
at
Binghamman's?
Binghamman's Park.
Binghamman's
yep.
Park,
yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
You and I were supposed to go camping that weekend.
I know, I'm busy.
So Chris and I were going to go camping, because there's a campsite right near Binghamman's. So we're going to go camping and do the show.
And then we were going to go to Oktoberfest afterwards.
Oktoberfest and do a little zicky-zicky-zoy.
Yeah.
But that didn't
pan out.
That didn't pan out.
Next, I told Richard Cumley, who's partly
the
involved
promoter
in that,
of the show. Yeah,
I told him he's got not don't have it on Thanksgiving weekend next year.
Fair,
right?
All right. Well, we'll see.
All right. Listen, we've run out of time.
Always,
I know.
Always running out of time. Hey, Chris. Comic Culture, produced, engineered, done everything by Chris Owen. We're at comicbookdaily.com. And we're always on 93.3 CFMU, McMaster's award-winning radio station. We encourage everybody to go out and support their local comic book shop.
And have yourself a great day.